Church with a warm heart, good morning. If you were not awake yet, now you are. It's good to have you. Thank you to the Rasmussen family for bringing in the drums and cultural pieces. My name is Michael Beneshek. I'm one of your warm heart folk here. Just to welcome all of you. And if you're curious what's going on, we have about 5 special Sundays in the Methodist Church where we take a special look, an offertory, I guess, at some special ministries. Today is Native American Sunday in the Methodist Church, where we celebrate the ministries of United Methodism and Native American Indigenous folk. I'll share more about that a little bit at the offertory. But thank you for being here with us today. If you're joining us online, welcome. Hello, welcome to you. We are blessed to have you with us, and we pray whatever day you are watching that this is a day of rest and Sabbath for you, a day of blessings. Just a couple of announcements. 2 weeks from today, I think it's 2 weeks, the 28th, the kids of our church, they'll be performing a children's musical at the second service. So at the 11:15 service, they're going to be doing Jailhouse Rock. Story of Paul and Silas in the jail. I've been told Elvis is going to show up. I did not okay that. I've just been told that. All right. It's all good. But if you want to come to a service that doesn't have a sermon but has kids singing, you'll want to be at the 11:15 2 weeks from today. Also 2 weeks from today, you have a second option. Right after coffee hour, Faith Foundation Northwest, for whom we have all our endowments with, they'll be in town for another thing, but they're going to stop here. They're going to give a presentation, a workshop at 11 o'clock in one of our family life rooms, just on different ways to give. Not even to church, but different ways how you can bless your kids, how you can bless other people in tax-advantaged ways. If you're ever curious about what to do with a will or a trust or anything like that. 11 o'clock, 2 weeks from today, over there, there's a sign up in the main church office so we know that you're coming. That'll be after coffee hour. You can go to worship, go to coffee, and sneak on in for that. Also, in about a week and a half, starts the United Methodist General Conference. So every 4 years, albeit it got canceled with COVID last time, every 4 years, the Methodist Church has delegates from across the world come together, and they talk United Methodist stuff. They make decisions on where the church stands on this issue or on that issue or how we live together. Every 4 years, I kind of get my hopes up about, what are they going to do this year? And every 4 years, I go, oh, they didn't do much. I don't know what's going to happen in a week and a half. General conference, you just never know. You got delegates from across the world trying to figure out this United Methodist thing. But I'm just bringing this up to you because you're going to see it in the news. ABC is going to say the Methodist Church is doing that, or the CNN is going to say the Methodist Church is doing this. Just so you know, our church is going to be like the same and just keep on doing what we do. And we're just going to wave at general conference and hope they get some good stuff out, but you know what? We're the church of the warm heart no matter what. That's us. Brandy is our worship leader today, and she may have an announcement or two.
Cool announcements. Welcome, everybody. If you got a bulletin on the back, you can see what we have coming up. This Saturday, April 20th at 6 p.m., we have our trivia night and bake sale. This will support our youth on their Northern Idaho trip. So remember, it's this Saturday at 6 p.m. Is it just across the way here? Family night?
Six.
Okay, perfect. And then Pastor Jen, so this is a secret. Don't spill the beans, but we're putting together a memory book for Pastor Jen since she's leaving. So right outside these doors to the left on the podium, you'll see we've got these little handouts. So feel free to take one. What we're asking is that you just write down a memory you have with Pastor Jen, and you can submit any pictures for her photo book, and we want to present this to her before she leaves. So please, please pick up one of these, fill it out, and again, it's a secret, so keep it to yourself. But anyways, I think that is it for announcements, right? Okay.
Where's Pastor Jen, I hear you ask? Pastor Jen, June 30th is her last day here before she goes off to Nampa Southside to be their senior pastor. But she came and said, I have 2 weeks of vacation. Can I take it? I'm like, please, please. So she's down in New Mexico enjoying time with family. So Jen, if you're watching, you shouldn't be watching this at all. You're on vacation, but that sounds good. All right. In a second, we're going to have meet and greet, and then after meet and greet, we come back and we sing our songs. Our first song is actually called the Cherokee Morning Song. I'm going to help you with the words. The words they mean, "I am of the Great Spirit. It is so." But this is how it goes. So I want you to repeat after me: Wende Yaho, Wende Yaho, Wende Yah. When day ya? Ho, 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 ho. Ho, 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 ho. Hey ya ho. Hey ya ho. Ya, ya, ya. You're gonna be fine. Let's take a moment and greet those around us in Christian.
please join me in the affirmation of faith. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things to present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated.
Come on up, Nicole, but I'm going to invite the kids to come up here to watch. Is that cool? If you're a kiddo, fifth grade and down, come on up and have a seat right up here.
And if you're on the mission team, come up here.
Awesome. Good job, good job. Good to see you guys.
Don't tromp on any children.
We got some spots right over here that if you want to sneak on over, come on down. Good to see you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If you don't know me, I'm Nicole Walker, youth minister, and this is my mission team for 2024. Scoot down a little bit, Aubrey. Make a little bit more room. There you go. There you go. Perfect. Hooray. I asked them all to come this morning, and only one didn't get here, so doing better than last year. This is our mission team. We are headed to Northern Idaho this year, and we're going to be serving with Idaho Servant Adventures in Wallace, Idaho, in the Silver Valley, so we're pretty excited about that. We are going to be joined by a small group from CUNA United Methodist Church as well, so that's pretty exciting. We'll be forming that partnership and headed up. And we do have our trivia night on Saturday, as Brandy mentioned. We do hope you'll all come and compete, but realizing that some of you have other plans that night, you're welcome to stop by. We'll have a table in the FLC during coffee hour, and you can give us money then. Of course, we always appreciate all your gifts, but even more than your money, we do covet your prayers and your support. And I know that you do support us, so thank you so much. I'm constantly telling the youth how much you love them, and you have never failed to come through for us and show that. I really like to put something in your hands before our mission trip, so some kind of tangible reminder for you to pray for us and keep us in your thoughts. And this year we have cards, and they're over in the table in the FLC. They have the pictures of all the team members, a little our beautiful Idaho to Idaho logo on the back here, and a couple of prayer requests. So whether you have already donated, whether you plan to donate, whether you can't donate, whatever, we'd love for you to come over and say hi to us, meet some of the kids personally if you would like, and grab a card before coffee hour is over today. And if you don't get one today, you can get one next week. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Go ahead and have a seat and participate in children's time. Go ahead and sit down. Sit down right where you are. Sit down right. Awesome. So I was about their age, and I was in school, and the teacher said, For this homework assignment, show me what your perfect house would look like. What would your perfect house look like? And I was a little kind of a different kid. I wanted a different kind of house. I grew up in Nebraska in the middle of the country, and I drew a picture of a giant teepee. I wanted to live in a teepee out in the woods all by myself. I didn't want to be around anybody else. I wanted to Henry David Thoreau this thing out in the, you don't know that name, but I wanted to be out there. I don't know if, did you get a picture, Jacob, that I didn't send you a text? Didn't make the thing? I should probably do it like, not, you know, 5 minutes before the service. Hey, here's a picture of something. Put it on the service. But I drew this, it was a giant teepee. and a TV over here and a refrigerator over there. But I wanted to be by myself. And later on, I thought, well, that was silly. I don't want to be all by myself. I want to be with other people. And later on, I had this feeling like, I want everyone else to think like me. I want everyone else to have the same ideas that I have. I want everyone else to believe exactly the same thing that I believe. And do you think that worked?
No.
No. I can't even get a spouse that thinks the same way that I do. How am I going to get a world to do the same thing? So those extremes didn't work. I wanted to be all by myself, and that didn't work. I want everyone to think like me, and that didn't work. God gives us wonderful creation, and he made you, and he made you, and he made you. He made you, he made you, he made you. He made all of you differently. You're different, which is good, because if you're the same, then someone's unnecessary, but you're different. And that's part of God's beautiful, beautiful creation and how we all try to live together, even though we're different. What I love about our mission team is this. A lot of things, but what I love about our United Methodist missions, when we do mission work, we don't go out trying to make other people to think like us. We don't go out there trying to make other Methodists. That's not what we do. Our job is just to show love, to serve, to care, to show compassion. God has called us to be in the world, to love on it just a little bit. And if that makes more Methodists, great. But that's our job is not to make you think like us, but maybe to love like us. So that's pretty cool. Can you pray with me today? Let's pray. God above, we give thanks for these little ones and these bigger ones, that as we continue on this journey of faith, may you walk with us, and may we continue to love on those around us, even though they may be a little different than us. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming down. Thanks for staying up here.
Thank you.
a couple things. First of all, am I microphone on? It's on. All right. Linda, some of you might know Linda Tewksbury. Linda passed away this past week, and we're still trying to find out the right time for the service, but it'll probably be on this Saturday at 11 o'clock. That is tentative, so don't put that in pen. You can put that in pencil, but for those of you who know Linda, our prayers are with her family this week. What are the prayers of our church family today? Feel free and popcorn them up. You could share them as loud as to the rafters or just as quiet in the heart. But what are the prayers of our family? God of all creation, we gather as your people on this day that you have made. And Lord, it's a good one. We give thanks for the evidence of your presence found all around us. Help us to love your world and all in it as you have so loved us. On this day when our community celebrates the ministries of indigenous peoples, open us to a deeper understanding of who we are in relationship with one another. Remind us that indigenous peoples provided so many with the means of survival in times past. Help us to remember that the earth is sacred and that we should treat the earth with respect. Help us to recognize the value of the road each has walked to arrive at this place and the value of the shared journey before us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught all his people to pray as such. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, glory forever. Amen. As willing and able, let us stand and sing our next congregational hymn, Seek Ye First.
The scripture reading comes from John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah. That is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which was then translated into Peter.
So our first kid, who happens to be right up there, he realized he was going to be in church this morning. I wouldn't have told the story. For whatever reason, God's humor, he trusted us with a living thing. I mean, does God even know us? You know, so the baby comes and you got the 1 or 2 days in the hospital, and those are fine. The nurses and the doctors, they take care of you. They make sure you're doing okay, and they take the baby away for a while, then bring it back for the feeding. But eventually, they kick you out of the hospital. And you're like, seriously, what am I supposed to do with this thing? And I remember holding Christian in my arms. Aw, looking up at me. And he already has us identified. There's mom, and there's not mom. Right? And he would get fussy, and anyone who was not mom held the kid. The kid would get fussy, and there were tears, and there was bawling. It's not the kid's fault. It's what kids do. And I remember thinking during one of these cry fests, "What do you want?" Did you ever have that with your kid? Do you want food? Do you need to burp? Are your ears okay? Right? Do you have a scratch or an itch that you don't know how to get to yet? Right? Do you want laid down? Do you want picked up? Do you want thrown in the air? What is it? You know, you've already gone through 8 diapers in the last hour. Is it time again? What do you want? Babies cannot articulate what they want. They just have a need, and they do what they can to get your attention. Well, friends, it's not just babies. I want to ask you this morning, what do you want? I mean, really, if you could have anything in the entire world, what would you really like? What do you want out of life? Now, when I look through Scripture, there's many stories of want. The people of Israel wanted freedom from slavery. And on that wilderness journey, you might remember, they wanted water to drink. Then they wanted bread, and then they wanted meat. They wanted a place to call home. And then they wanted a king to rule over them and to protect them from other nations. And there's nothing wrong with these requests. There's nothing. That's why I like reading some of these stories, because they're honest people just like us who need things just like us. We are not all that removed from the biblical story. We are beginning a new sermon series that will last through May, and we're calling it Questions Jesus Asked. In the 4 Gospels that begin the New Testament, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You get the stories of Jesus. If you want to find the stories of Jesus, look in the Gospels, New Testament, first 4 books. And we think that Jesus gives us answers. But if you got one of those little red letter Bible books, the ones that, you know, the red letters for all the words of Jesus, you will find there's a lot of question marks. Jesus asked a ton of questions. Makes him a little different than other religious figures of the day who just gave you answers. Jesus gave you questions that we would have to answer. Either he didn't know the answer, which is not true, or he wanted us to help discover us on the way to the answers. Someone counted up all the questions. There's 307. Big deal, I hear you say. Big deal. Well, here's the deal. The Son of God, the deity that knows everything, right? Knows our deepest longings, knows our deepest needs. And he asks us questions. Does he know the answers? He was a master at great question asking. The kinds of questions people answered, the kinds of questions that prompted self-awareness, the kinds of questions that would lead us into a life of repentance, of forgiveness, of abundant life. How can we be more like Jesus? So in these 7 weeks, we'll examine 7 of these questions. Some are real thinkers, and others may be more of an offhand question that I'm just going to jump off into a life lesson or a sermon. But today, we're going to get the first of Jesus's questions as found in the Gospel of John. These are his very first words in the Gospel of John. Their narrative of the Gospel of John actually begins with another John, one that we call John the Baptist. So it opens up with John the Baptist and his ministry is starting to wind down, and Jesus' ministry is starting to take off. In fact, John preaches about Jesus, and it cost John 2 disciples. John the Baptist, look, there goes Jesus, the Lamb of God. And 2 of John's disciples says, oh, really? And they start to follow. One was Andrew. Later on, Andrew would also bring Peter to Christ. Later, Andrew would bring a whole bunch of Gentiles to Christ. Later on, Andrew would bring the little boy with the fish to Christ so he could do the whole feed the multitude miracle. Sometimes Andrew is called the usher, Andrew the usher, because every time he's in the story, he is continually bringing people to Christ. That's what an usher does. An usher is someone who brings people in to Christ. Here at church, we have some ushers. If you've ever ushered, let me see your hands. We got ushers. Thank you for being an usher. Volunteers to help bring people in to hear about Christ. Ushers, you are not just passing out bulletins, taking the offertory, helping people know where the bathroom is. You are people who are ushering people in to hear about the Word of God and to learn about Jesus. A long time ago, one of my kids used to call the ushers the church bouncers. Which you could be as well. You know, their job is to protect us too. But I liked how Andrew evangelized. He didn't give out theological words. He didn't rattle off a bunch of scriptures. He just told Peter, hey, come check this out. Hey, come. Come take a look at this. When I don't know what else to say, how to evangelize to my friends or family, I just say, hey, just come check this out. Maybe that would work for you too. But it wasn't just Andrew. There were 2 disciples. Andrew and, I don't know. It doesn't say. If you look at your Bibles, it doesn't say which disciple that is. But tradition says that it's the disciple John. John who wrote the book where the story takes place. He knows the story firsthand enough to say this is 4 in the afternoon as if that matters to the story, but he's putting in details. John never names himself in his own gospel. If you read the Gospel of John, you read about him talking about himself. He is a little egotistical because he says, and the disciple that Jesus loved, John, right? But he doesn't put his word in there. So in this first exchange, Jesus, when he finally shows up in the story, there's questions. And they beat around the bush. Jesus sees them following. Very first words that Jesus has in the gospel. What do you want? Now, we always hear this phrase in King James Jesus speak. Verily I say unto thee, of which do you seek? Right? Sometimes I want to put a little Bronx sarcasm in there. What do you want? Why are you following me? Should I be worried? You know? What do you want from me? And Andrew and John, they don't answer the question. They could answer back. We seek eternal life. We seek the answers to life, the universe, everything. Or we seek the Christ, the anointed one of God, of whom it was foretold. But their answer is very telling of their wishy-washiness, or at least of caution. What do you want? Where are you staying tonight? That's their question, right? Where are you staying? You have Jesus, the Son of God. You could ask him anything in the entire world, and that's your question? What's your room number? And Jesus doesn't answer them either. His answer is also cryptic. Come and see. No address, no inn name. He could have said, I'm staying at the Galilean Inn and Garden Suites. Just come and see. And they did. The first disciples. The first of 12 who would change the world. If Jesus asked you that question, what are you looking for? You came today looking for something. Maybe it was a word of encouragement. Maybe it was a lesson from Holy Writ, or a song, or a warm heart smile, or just a place to belong. There's 175, 76, 77 people in this room. We do a count. And there's 177 different reasons of why people are here. So in the time that I have left, I want to give a couple of quick pointers as you think about how you answer that question. What do you want? First, and this might sound too forward, but ask. Just ask. If we really believed in God and his ability to help, why don't we call on God more often? You know why I don't ask God a whole lot of times? I should ask more. You know, I'm a pastor. I believe these things. And yet I'm sometimes hesitant to ask God for what I want. I got my reasons. Maybe they'll resonate with yours. Why don't I ask God for stuff? Well, maybe it's too trivial. It might be important to us, but it's not going to mean much to God. Why should he care about my needs when there's wars going on? Or we might think that we're being selfish when we do ask. Or we don't think that God works this way anymore. Maybe in the olden days, we could ask for healings or we could ask for miracles, but that's not how God works today. Let me tell you, I've seen a miracle or two. Some of us think that God wants us to suffer a bit. Or maybe we think that God doesn't want us to have good things. Or we think that God is too busy helping other people who are truly in need. Or sometimes we just forget that God loves us. Or God, you know, God, I'm not a saint. Why should I ask? Let me tell you something. Your Father in heaven is crazy about you. He loves you. He loves you. I love my kids. Every now and then, one of my kids will ask a question from the back seat. Something like, hey, Dad, can we go to Dairy Queen? Wasn't even on my radar, right? We don't do it every day, every week, or even every month. But you know what? Since you asked, why not? Every now and then, ask God for a blessing of some kind. You never know. You never know. James 5 says it like this. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Ask. Give it a shot. Another spiritual hint. Ask specifically. Say what you want in high definition. I texted my kids a while back on our family chat. Kids, going to the store, what do you want for supper tonight? And one of the kids texted back, I don't know, something. So I texted back, all right, I will get something. They didn't like the something that I got. I tried. Isn't that the truth with most of your relationships? You know, for whatever reason, I'm guessing most of you didn't go to mind reading school. Do you ever talk to the people that you love? Hey, what do you want? I don't know, whatever. And then you get the wrong thing. Like, specifically, we need specifics, right? I'm sure you've played this game before. Hey, we're going out tonight. Hey, where do you want to eat tonight? I don't care. Where do you want to eat? I don't care. Where do you want to eat? I don't care. Well, how about Olive Garden? I don't want Olive Garden. All right. Where do you want to eat? Well, how about, I don't care where we eat. Well, how about Popeyes? I don't want Popeyes. Well, you care because you're saying no, but ooh. Apparently all my references have to do with food. I should back up here. Let me try this story. 18 years ago, we got called to do a new church start. Parachute pastor in, start with, my first church had 800 people. I was the associate. My second church had 300 people. My third church had 0 people. That's not good career trajectory here. 0 people. Go start a church. All right. So I need some funds, like big time funds. There's a church down the street, but I got an appointment with the president of the regional banker. Yeah. That's how it felt, right? Mary Poppins, in case you were curious. Got a meeting with the regional banker president who happened to be Methodist and went to the big church over here. Right? So I go in with that pastor, a good friend. The banker knows why I'm there, but he asks, what can I do for you? And I go into my 5-minute elevator speech about what we're doing. And after about 5 minutes, he just, stop. What do you want from me? And I wasn't really sure what to say, so I stammered out, we need some money to get off the ground. And my pastor buddy, who's sitting next to me, leans over and whispers, he wants a number. Oh, okay. 100,000. Swing for the fences, baby, right? 100,000. And I can see my pastor friend go, shh. And the banker says, okay. And you should have seen my face. Like, holy snot, that worked. All right, we didn't get the whole 100,000. But he wrote a big check to my friend's church who became the sponsor for us. Ask specifically, you never, never know. In the end, many people seek many different things from Jesus then and now. And just like babies, sometimes disciples cannot articulate what they want, but deep down, they have a need. So it's good to examine our own prayer lives every now and then and see what dominates our prayers. Are you praying for yourself or for others? Do you pray for things or do you pray for him? Do you pray for a blessing or do you pray to be a blessing? Jesus' first question, what do you want, is really, what are you looking for? And they answered him, Rabbi, where are you staying? And this is what I get from their response. They just wanted him. They just wanted to be with him. They just wanted to bask in the presence of something greater than themselves. And maybe that should be our heart as well. When Jesus asks us, what do you want? Our answer could be a lot of things, but hopefully somewhere in there is, we want to be more like you. We want to see what grace and mercy is all about. We want to see how to love others and value everyone. Help us to be more like you. And Jesus' answer then and today is the same. Come and see. Come and see. And the family of God said, amen. Letting my notes, as we come to the offertory, just a word of those, for those who faithfully participate to the giving to our church ministries. In the greater Northwest Methodist area, I'm talking Alaska, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, we have the Circle of Indigenous Ministries, where we support Native American congregations in all of these conferences. For us in the Oregon, Idaho, we have Dr. Alan Buck. He is the senior pastor at Great Spirit United Methodist Church out of Portland. And they do a lot of wonderful ministries, not only there, but throughout the conference. We support them through our offertory, through our apportionments. But thank you for your gifts as we support those among us.
Thank you.
Please stand for the doxology and prayer. Loving God, we come together to present our tithes and offerings. We are reminded of the profound love with which you have called us your children. Bless our giving and guide us in using these gifts wisely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, Hymn of Promise. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. So what do we have next? Right around the corner in that room, we have our... we hope that you join us. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. That as we celebrate our indigenous peoples today and our connection to all of us, may God's love, blessings, and peace go with you all. Amen. Thank you.